8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. 101.1 FM, 1340 AM for the Grand Valley. 102.1 along Highway 50. And you can always stream us from the mobile app, which you can get our website. You can also stream us from the website if you want to do that. If you've got a smart speaker, ask it to play 1340 The Team. But you can get the app, stream us at theteam1340.com. Pile pigskin, pick them. We're into week two. I've got to make my picks today. Buckeye, don't forget to make your picks.
Oh, yeah, I got to do that. A day and a half.
I'm off to a good start. So. Not too bad. Week one.
Your point up on me.
Okay.
Actually, no, I think I made my picks already yesterday. Maybe I did that yesterday.
Okay, well, what? You actually did it in advance?
Yeah,
because
we were talking about the standings yesterday.
Okay, so you that jogged your memory to go, okay, I need to do this.
Yep.
But you can win that $1,000 gift card from Play It Again Sports in Valley Plaza. If you're looking for gently used, inexpensive sports gear, it is the place to go. Everything from baseball bats, softball bats, to kayaks, to basketballs, you name it. They have it over there at the Valley Plaza. You can win a $1,000 gift card from Play It Again Sports. Also, you can win that sweet Traeger grill from Fruta Co-op Country. Don't forget locations in Fruta, Palisade, and Norwood. And then for the overall points winner, a cooler, and not just any cooler, a Bud Light NFL cooler full of the aforementioned Bud Light and Bud Light Seltzer from Central Distributing.
A cooler, if you will.
The coolest cooler.
Yeah.
You're going to find.
And right up until you said sports gear, I thought you were talking about me with the gently used and inexpensive. That's me to a T, really.
Not that you are gently used and inexpensive.
No. But I don't do a whole lot.
It's like, what are you trying to, sell yourself? You know,
yeah.
That's your approach to to buying things. Okay,
yeah.
Very good. Okay. It's like trying to...
No.
Trying to go Richard Gere from that late 70s movie? Where he's a...
Pretty Woman?
No.
Oh.
No.
That's a different...
Where he's the...
selling and buying operation.
Like Dan Aykroyd on SNL? Fred Garvin, male prostitute. You were like... I'm gently used and inexpensive. I was like, are you working a side hustle? You got a side hustle
Maybe,
going?
Who knows? You never
Karen know about this? I don't think Karen probably all that cool with that.
She definitely knows about the inexpensive.
And I'm thinking,
very cheap.
No offense to you.
Yeah.
That side hustle, not going to be making a lot of money off of it. I'm just telling you, man.
You don't know. There's a market for everything.
I don't
You've
know.
Been on the internet?
I know. There's probably a segment of the population.
Yeah.
The ladies just might be going crazy over you. They'd be willing to spend hard-earned money to spend a little time with the Buckeye Boy.
Like Quagmire said, fat guys need love too, you know?
Giggity, giggity. Okay.
You mentioned Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Unfortunately, yesterday the news, Norm MacDonald passing away.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. I've been fighting cancer for quite some time. The very controversial...
Apparently,
when he was a host of Weekend Update.
I thought you were talking about the decision not to tell anybody that. Apparently, a lot of people are mad that he didn't grace them with the news that he.
It's his business. It's
none of our concern.
Same with Chadwick Boseman. It's nobody's business. It's their business. If they want to fight their battle of cancer privately, then that's their decision. That's their right. They don't have to tell people.
But you're right. He was. Controversial on SNL, getting fired because he kept needling OJ.
See, he made the comment, well,
apparently
I guess,
now murder is legal in California.
Murder is legal in California after the OJ Simpson verdict. Yeah. Canadian guy, funny guy, dry sense of humor, course.
Burt Reynolds.
He was a legendary Turd Ferguson. Well, he was actually, he was Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, he was. Burt Reynolds, that's not Burt my Reynolds. Name.
He was hilarious on the Jeopardy
Turd
skit with
Ferguson.
With
yeah,
Will Ferrell as... Has Turd Ferguson as Burt Reynolds.
It was so funny.
Yeah. A lot of his stuff was okay. His stand-up was it was okay. But SNL, I thought he was very funny on that show. All right, so the quarterback that impressed you the most this weekend, the one that was the least impressive or most disappointing for Guru Gary, Tom Brady. Some of those throws he made to Gronk were just sick. Brady was winging around last Thursday. Look, he was throwing some seeds. He was throwing some ropes for a guy that's supposed to be 44. And I love all this now. Oh, what's Brady doing? It's like the conspiracy theory about Rodgers playing bad to stick it to the Packers.
Right.
Well, I didn't do that last year then. Last year seems like it would have been more apropos for him to do that than this year. It's, oh, what's Brady doing? What's he shooting himself up with? What's he, Giselle have some secret supermodel thing that they do that he's doing? Is it more than just the avocado ice cream and the special jammies and all that stuff and the stretching? And he's got to be doing, so he's going to be blood doping. He's got to be doing something. That's the new Brady thing now.
Yeah.
They clapped the way through the ball the other day. Also,
the European cyclist, apparently.
He got a hold of EPO. He got a hold of Lance Armstrong's guy. Yeah. And hey, how'd you make that work for Lance? What can you do for me?
You know, seven Tours de France, seven Super Bowls. It's right up there.
Oh, yeah. Also from Guru Gary, Matt Stafford is a difference maker. He was on fire, too. So that's his tie. Trevor Lawrence looked bad. Aaron wins worse, though. I have to agree with him on that. From Steve Beauregard, Mr. Beauregard this morning. Mm-hmm. My wine is about being subjected to the same three or four annoying commercials every 10 minutes during NFL games for the next 18 weeks. Okay, Progressive. Baker lives in the stadium. We get it. But he's the only quarterback with more ads than wins. Ouch.
Whoa.
Steve.
Hold on there, first of all. Has anybody seen how many different Patrick Mahomes State Farm ads there are? So
yeah, come on.
Let's Aaron Rodgers slow down a second.
Now is the hipster guy at the coffee bar playing his guitar.
So let's slow down. Yes, those guys have Super Bowls and Baker doesn't, but let's slow down for a second.
Yeah, come on. Whoa, Steve.
Just because Bakers are funnier than everybody else.
I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan, nor am I a Browns fan, but I find the Progressive commercials extremely funny. I think he's really good in them.
And how many...
The book club one still cracks me up.
Yes. The book club, the yard sale with Jedrick Wills. These my shoulder pads? They could be.
The one they're talking about with the other ladies about the friend that drives
by. She drives by. She's a good egg, though.
She's a good egg, though. You know, they're like ripping her. She's a good egg.
They're funny. Yes.
He's really good in them. It's not that he's wooden or stiff or not.
Yep.
Look, Aaron Rodgers is fine in the commercials he does. I think Mayfield's funnier.
I agree. Hey, and see, if you want less commercials, listen to the Broncos game on the team.
There you go. Simple as that.
And turn off the TV.
Done and done. There you go. Yeah. Don't have to worry about those Progressive commercials.
They play them because you know you're not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere for a while?
Yeah. Watch Red Zone.
There you go. Or just listen to it on the radio.
Yeah, that too.
All right. Let's get to the Broncos situation where yesterday they announced that both Jerry Jeudy and Ronald Darby are going on injured reserve. For the case of Jerry Jeudy, it's a high ankle sprain. And the diagnosis with an MRI confirmed that on Monday that Judy's going to miss some time. But here's the good thing. Wasn't an ACL, wasn't a knee injury, but it is a high ankle sprain, which is problematic unto itself because it takes time to heal. And The Athletic has a really nice piece on this. And they have a comment from Dr. Christopher Kidd. He's a foot and ankle surgeon at Cedars-Sinai, Curl and Job. He's also the team physician for the LA Galaxy in Major League Soccer. He said, I've heard that his x-rays were normal, and that's the best case scenario. If you look at the x-ray of an ankle after if it's had an injury like this, the leg bones, the tibia, the fibula are either going to be in the right place or going to be way too far apart. If they're way too far apart, we term those as unstable, and we operate on those. We turn the ligaments to stabilize it. My understanding is that his x-rays were normal and that those usually heal very well without surgery over the course of 4 to 6 weeks. So he's going to be out for a while. Jerry Jeudy's not going to come walking back to that door anytime soon, which hurts because yardage-wise, he was their leading receiver on Sunday against the Giants. And Teddy Bridgewater goes, look, he means a lot to this offense. And that's certainly true. It's six catches, TMI 72 yards. Did that in just 2.5 quarters against the Giants. And Teddy talks about, you know, you watch him, he's creating separation in the pass game. He's making tough catches across the middle. He's getting open for us on third down, different things. So that's going to mean that the Tim Patrick has to play the way Tim Patrick did last season, the way he did perform, had a touchdown catch Sunday against the Giants. It's going to be more, Cortland Sutton's going to, I mean, not that Cortland Sutton wasn't trying to get open, trying to create separation, trying to be a playmaker. He came up with a huge play on the fourth down and two catch. But that was his only catch of the day. Here's the good thing if you're a Broncos fan, though, where you don't freak out. You've got depth. You've got KJ Hamler. You've got the two tight ends, Okwuegbunam and Fant, that provide, obviously, both had solid games. Albert O with the touchdown catch on Sunday. Fant played really well. But you got KJ Hamler at that wideout spot. Tim Patrick. You know, there's some people I saw the comments. Well, now they're going to regret trading Trinity Benson.
No, they're not.
They got a couple of decent picks for him. Right now, yes, that's the overreaction, you know, of, well, they shouldn't have got rid of him. Because you're not expecting Jerry Jeudy to get hurt, okay?
Mm-hmm. And it's a hindsight situation, too.
Sure.
Like you just mentioned. You just said it. You're not expecting Jerry Jeudy to get hurt. And you can't, therefore, come out afterwards and be like, see, shouldn't have traded him. Because you got two draft picks for him.
And if
you got two draft picks for that guy.
And exactly. Look, and if you dealt Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton and you brought in some dudes, and you traded Trinity Benson after his preseason, and he was a guy that you thought they should have kept after getting rid of all those other guys, then you can go, well, that was a stupid move. They've got depth in their wide receiver core. They're going to be fine.
Three catches, 19 yards. You got two draft picks for that guy. His debut for the Lions.
Yeah. And if you're George Payton, you're like, yeah, we're good
we'll
with
take
that.
Yeah. Because you know what? Trinity Benson is still your fourth wide receiver, even if he's on the team.
Exactly. It's not like Trinity Benson all of a sudden
gets plugged right into Jerry Jeudy's role. Everybody else moves up one.
To being like your number two guy.
Mm-hmm. Because you still have Cortland Sutton one. Now Tim Patrick's probably number two.
Yeah.
KJ Hamler three. And then Trinity Benson. It's not just now Trinity Benson. We got a void in the offense. Now we're just going to plug him right into that role. That's not how that works. And with Cortland Sutton, he had one catch, but he is your number one wide receiver. He's going to get the number one defensive back. He's going to get the first of any shading of the safeties. He's going to be the guy that's double covered. So he's might have days to where his best contribution is making sure some other guys can get open. He's going to be your decoy. He's going to be your down-the-field guy. He's going to clear out the underneath area so somebody else can either come running behind him or come on the backside of his route into a void in the defense. So just because he had one catch doesn't mean it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Ready to go.
You would have liked for him to have had more touches.
Right.
Didn't happen.
But it's the knee-jerk overreaction. Week one, the clock is just barely at triple zeros. Now we have to break it down.
Freaking out. Oh, we shouldn't have got rid of him.
Because shouldn't have traded Trinity. Calm.
Stop it.
Take a breath.
Remember Kyle Sloter?
Yes.
Remember Kyle Sloter? Everybody was losing their crap when the Broncos didn't keep Kyle Sloter, the former UNC quarterback. Losing their crap a couple
because
of years ago.
He's going to be big, Jim. He has as many regular season games as you do.
When's the last time you heard from Kyle Sloter? Seriously.
I'm trying to think.
Is he even in the league anymore?
I had to look up to see if he's still alive.
I'm just saying that's an example of don't let the preseason taint how you feel about a player. Mm-hmm. Don't. You can't lose your crap just because Kyle Sloter, you know, look, they cut him loose in 2019.
Mm-hmm. And he has been with six teams since, or five teams since. You know who he plays for right now? The FAs. He's a free agent.
He's a free agent. Looking around. I'm just saying. Denver's got depth at that position. Don't lose your crap, Broncos country.
He didn't even make it to camp with the Raiders this year.
But remember that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Of the classic overreaction of Broncos country. One guy plays well, and they don't keep him. And you go, oh, they're going to ruin the day.
Yep.
They're going to be so sorry they didn't keep that guy. I like Trinity Benson. I thought he might make the roster. He didn't. I'm like, okay. I see what George Payton did there. Got a couple picks, and that's good. That's fine.
You took an undrafted guy and flipped him for not one, but two picks.
That's pretty darn good. That's a savvy move by a GM.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the Broncos season rests on whether or not they kept Trinity Benson.
Why do you think they used him so much in the preseason? Just to up his value.
Because they're like, well, look, he's probably not going to make our roster. Maybe put him on the practice squad again. I don't know. And
he could be more valuable to the Broncos as a Lion than he ever was as a Bronco.
Absolutely. But I saw that the other day. Yesterday, I'm like, oh, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
Then if the Lions cut him, you can re-sign him. And you keep the two draft picks.
There you go. Genius move on the part.
Yeah.
That's where George Payton continues to push all the right buttons.
So far, so good so under far, the tenure of George Payton.
So good.
He's undefeated.
Savvy draft.
Might as well just call it, right?
I know people still want to hear, well, how you could have drafted Justin Fields? Could have Mac Jones. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that he traded for.
Those guys lost,
had
by
his
the way.
Best QBR in his career and had the best QBR of anybody in the league. And he helped your team win its first September game for Vic Fangio. Settle down, people.
With
Settle
such
down.
A young offense, they needed more of a calming force than a rookie. Because if they draft a rookie and he goes through a year of growing pains, you know what Broncos country saying? Should have went with a veteran.
Absolutely.
Well, there's no winning, except on the field, and George Payton's undefeated.
All right. One other note. Of course, we'll have Locked Up Broncos podcast host Cody Rourke coming up in a few minutes. Apparently, if you watched Hard Knocks this year, Cowboys, you might have watched it for the last time, possibly.
Ah, oh, bummer.
Because Adam Schefter, Schefty with ESPN.com and all other ESPN platforms, referenced a league official, this is from Pro Football Talk, that there's going to be an announcement made during tomorrow night's Giants-Washington game during halftime that will involve the future of the Hard Knocks series on HBO.
Ooh, interesting.
And so, the at least the way Pro Football Talk is looking at this, this is probably it. They have the Cowboys on.
Yeah. Might as well go out on a high note.
And it, I don't know if it really necessarily moved the meter. I watched a little bit of one of the episodes. I'll be honest. I've ceased to be really engaged by Hard Knocks for quite some time.
I watched the first season and the Browns season, and that's really all I've been.
I watched a couple of episodes of the dual, you know, Chargers Rams one.
I didn't at all.
Yeah. So
you mentioned Schefty, the Schefter dynasty is continuing. Did you see the news that Nickelodeon is diving farther into the NFL coverage with the family Schefter? With Nickelodeon, their CBS, they're launching a weekly football highlight show. It's called NFL Slime Time. It starts tonight, featuring the daughter of one Adam Schefter, Dylan Schefter.
Okay.
She's like 13. And she's going to be a part of this show. And I think it's also got one of our favorites, Nate Burleson, involved in it.
Who's now doing CBS Mornings.
Yep.
He's following the Michael Strahan route.
So NFL Slime Time will be 7 p.m. Wednesdays with CBS Morning anchor, former NFL player Nate Burleson. Knicks star young Dylan with teenage sports reporter Dylan Schefter serving as correspondent.
Okay.
So, you going to check in NFL Slime Time tonight? It's got Nate Burleson. I'm probably going to dip
into
it. I might
maybe. Because Nate Burleson's on it, but otherwise, I don't know, really. I want to watch more of the Manning Boys. That's what I want to watch on Mondays. More of the Manning Boys. All right, 8-19. Quarterback that impressed you the most from week one, the one that was most disappointing week one of the NFL. Also, it's Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. You got something you need to complain, gripe about, whine about, throw a fit over, whatever the case may be.
Favorite Norm MacDonald character?
Well, it's got to be Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds.
That's not my name.
Okay. Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, what do you want?
Yeah, what do you want? Turd Ferguson, that was
you
great.
You buzzed okay. in.
McDonald's great when they did the Jeopardy stuff.
He was so good. Incredible.
It was so funny. All right, 820, Locked on Broncos podcast host Cody Work coming up in just a moment. But joining me right now, we're talking about the POW-MIA police poker run that's coming up this Saturday. We've got Josh V. Hill in studio with us. Josh, I appreciate you coming in today. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the poker run coming up with TJ Cycles. It's a fundraiser for veterans, and it's this Saturday. Give us all the details about the poker run coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, so it is the third annual POW-MIA tribute poker run. So we're still learning. We're in our early stages, but we have just been blessed by an amazing turnout every year. So Friday, we start out with pre-registration at Confluence Park in Delta. We'll have live music by Dave's Fault and D&G Railroad. We'll have a couple of food trucks and a beer garden, and then the pre-registration tables open there. And then Saturday, 8 o'clock, registration opens. 10 o'clock is kickstands up. We'll be riding to Uray and back.
That'll be a great ride.
Yeah, it will. It's a little shorter than we usually do, but with construction and COVID, we kind of want to respect some of the other communities, so it's going to be a short ride. So then 2 o'clock, we'll show back up at the shop, TJ Cycles in an off-road in Delta. And we've got a couple of food trucks and a guy that's just going to be cooking for us to fill in the gap. And then live music by Crazy Like a Fox. And, of course, a beer garden. We have some door prizes, raffles, 50-50s. And then we're actually going to be giving away a motorcycle that was custom-built by the shop.
Very cool. Very cool. So we're talking with Josh Veal about the POW-MIA Police Poker Run coming up on Saturday. So the fundraiser, it's for veterans. How do those funds get distributed, Josh, to veterans?
Okay. And I do want to just correct there. There's no police
That was put on my information.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I pulled a Ron Burgundy and was reading what's in front of me. So
yeah, so there is a... I get that reference. We do raise money all weekend from this event, and it goes to the American Legion and the VFW right now, and they use it locally right there in Delta to help fund some of the veterans programs, veteran assistance programs. For instance, last year they fed meals for Thanksgiving, and they provided a Christmas, and this means packages for the entire family of veterans. To 95 different families last year. So this really, you know, really boosts their budget a lot, and all the funds stay locally with the exception of the POW-MIA fund that they give to every year from those organizations that kind of works on finding the remains and repatriating the remains of fallen service members that are still at large. So
Josh Veal joining us today. We're talking about the POW-MIA poker run that's coming up this Saturday. So, Josh, I noticed your vest. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're a veteran. Thank you for your service, by the way.
My pleasure.
And so, this is this is something near and dear to you, being a veteran.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of where this whole thing came. It was a combination of several different dreams of motorcycle rallies coming together. And part of that was let's showcase the veterans, and this is a perfect time. Friday is nationally recognized POW-MIA Day, and so this was a perfect time for us to get together. So we did start a new nonprofit as well, so that we could just not ride on the coattails of any other nonprofits. It's called CHP, Colorado Heroes Project. And that nonprofit was started by the owner of TJ Cycles and I to build adaptive outdoor recreational vehicles for all service members. And this is where the police comes in, and all first responders from Colorado who have been injured in the line of duty and need an adaptive vehicle made. So
that's a fantastic program.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's going to take a while to get off the ground, finding underwriters. Some of these bikes, modifications could really cost a lot, but we're really confident and we really feel the support in Colorado is great. So it's something that we want to do and get those guys back in the wind.
Josh Veal with us, the POW-MIA Poker Run coming up this Saturday. And once again, Josh, take people through how they get signed up, how they get involved in the poker run.
Yeah, sure. We do have some registration online. You can go to our site, tjcyclesandoffroad.com, and register there. We will be closing that soon because it's easier to do it in person. So Friday, you can show up, have a great time in the park. We'll have a pre-registration table there, and then also at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And it pretty much just consists of filling out some forms, signing a waiver, and then deciding how many poker hands you want to play and paying for those. And you can pre-buy the food tickets and also the beer garden tickets. So
okay, I have a Honda VTX. I'm welcome, right?
No, absolutely.
Just Harley guys, right?
Okay. No, you know, we don't care if it's if it's two wheels, three wheels, or four wheels. You know,
Once it's street legal and you're out to have a good time,
you can do the poker run in a two-ton. We don't really care.
long as you get out and support it coming up on Saturday. Hey, Josh, I appreciate it. Sounds like this just keeps growing and getting bigger with your leadership on this. And don't forget, that's this Saturday, by the way, the POW-MIA poker run. They can contact, how do they reach out to contact
you? Yeah, so you can follow us on Facebook, TJ Cycles and Off-Road /repairs. Or go to our website, tjcyclesandoffroad.com, or you can just give us a call at the shop. We're, you know, you Google us and we're the first thing that comes up, thankfully. Or you can just come down and visit us in the shop. We have, you know, everything you could possibly need from repairs to full retail.
All right, very good. Check them out in Delta, TJ Cycles. Appreciate it. Josh, thank you so much. And
thank you for your
service to our country.
And my pleasure.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Locked On Broncos podcast host Cody Rourke joins us next on The Jim Davis Show.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Locked On Broncos host Cody Rourke.
Here we go!
On The Jim Davis Show on The Team.
All right, week two, Broncos at Jags this Sunday. Cody Rourke joins us this morning. Good morning, Cody. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Broncos off to a 1-0 start. Vic has his first September win in his head coaching career. Teddy Bridgewater posts the best QBR of his career. Take me through all the things you loved about what you saw from the Broncos on Sunday.
Well, you know, I think that they just came out prepared. Now, obviously, I think they battled adversity well. I was really impressed with Teddy Bridgewater. I'd say probably more so from Teddy, just the way he commanded the offense. And, you know, there were several times, too. And that Giants defense, too, and I've been trying to tell people this, that Giants defense is pretty solid. They have some pretty dang good players there. And look, Leonard Williams, I mean, there were several occasions he absolutely manhandled some of the guys on the Broncos offensive line in some one-on-one situations. But for Teddy, I was just really impressed with how composed he was, even when pressure was in his face. Something we saw that I didn't really expect too much, the escapability, the extended plays. I mean, he stiff-armed guys, and he's throwing the body, you know, he's throwing the ball across his body to KJ Hamler to keep things going, you know, and then you have a fourth down and you find Albert Okwuegbunam, you know, in the pressure where a linebacker just comes into your face and, you know, he somehow finds a way to get that to him. It was a great play. And we've been saying that if Patrick Mahomes did that, it'd be all over SportsCenter. So.
Exactly. But if it's Teddy Bridgewater, TB5, yeah. as the Buckeye boys now anointed him as TB5. But I just thought, you know, Teddy, the one play where he gets hit late, helmet comes off for like the second or third time, and you look down. And he's got the big smile on his face. You could tell.
Love it.
He was having fun. Like he said, that, you know, it's now been several years since that really horrific knee injury he had with the Vikings. He played loose. He played with a lot of confidence. They obviously believed in him going on the fourth down plays that they did. It was a great throw to Cortland Sutton to convert on that one fourth down. I just was really impressed with what I saw from Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he was very commanding in the huddle. And I had a chance to speak with a couple Broncos players this week after the game, and they just said that, you know, Teddy just makes everybody feel relaxed in a sense, which is a good thing because, like, when things are chaotic, he, you know, in the huddle, guys are saying that, you know, he's got you confident. You know, that you're not even worried about anything. You know you're going to get the play done. And I think that really goes to Vic Fangio, having trust in a guy like Teddy. You know, Jim, I don't know if you were able to see the clip, but Von Miller was mic'd up in this game, and he was talking to Teddy after the game about just how he hasn't felt this way about how the Broncos have had a quarterback since Peyton Manning in terms of the way that a guy leads the team and the pep talks that he gives. And he says that he loves that. And so, week one, obviously, it was a great performance to see. You know, Teddy's still going to have to build on these performances and rack them up. But you couldn't have asked for a better start for Teddy Bridgewater in his first start with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I thought the Broncos defense did a nice job. They gave up the late touchdown, but that was basically letting the, you know, Giants chip away and run out the clock, and Denver still gets a W, winning 27-13. I thought that Von Miller looked like the Von Miller of old, and you know, like you said, with the comments he made to Teddy Bridgewater, he's feeling good about their playoff chances And Vaughn, I thought, looked very much like the Vaughn Miller of yesteryear.
Oh, man. I mean, can we talk about in that first series when they tried to do the end around with Kadarius Toney, sacking him for a 5-yard loss in the backfield there, and he was just... He dominated. Nate Solder, too. I mean, he's going to be the poster boy for getting pushed over by Vaughn Miller. But, man, it was so nice to see Vaughn back. You know, the crazy thing, too, Jim, is this is without Bradley Chubb as well. So could you imagine when Bradley Chubb comes back, what maybe this pass-rushing duo could look like? Hey, you know, shout-out to Draymond Jones, too, on the interior defensive end. He and Vaughn, I mean, they just stood out like a sore thumb all night. I finally got my hands on the All-22 film, which the NFL is trying to hold back from a lot of people. And I tell you what, you can see a lot more from that angle. Those two really stood out to me.
He's the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Cody York joins us every Wednesday on the Jim Davis Show. But the Broncos do get bit by the injury bug a little bit after week one. Jerry Jeudy out with the high ankle sprain. That's going to be several weeks for him. And also the loss with the hamstring right now for Ronald Darby. Let's talk about Jerry Jeudy, who was their yardage leader in just 2.5 quarters of play against the Giants. The thing I like, though, about the Broncos, Cody, they have the depth to overcome that. Sure, you lose Jerry Jeudy. That's a big loss. But we're going to see more from Cortland Sutton as he continues to work his way back into this offense. KJ Hamler had a very impressive preseason. Oh, and that Tim Patrick guy, he's not too bad either. Plus what their tight ends are doing right now, I feel like they're going to be able to pick up that slack, fill that void, that loss of Jerry Jeudy, at least here for the next several weeks.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, Jerry had 6 catches, 72 yards before going down with that injury. And, you know, Jim, I think watching that, I was like, oh, no, that looks broken.
Right.
Thankfully, it's not. I mean, the fact that the replay showed what it did and he's, you know, he's going to come out of the other side of it, you know, potentially I think the timeline for him is going to be 6 weeks. He will be out. So probably after the Broncos bye week, we might see him back. I imagine it might take that long. But, guys like Tim Patrick, who, look, he had 4 catches. And he had 4 catches that moved the chains. You know, 3 of those catches came on 3rd down. 1 of them came on 4th down. Obviously, one of those was a touchdown play. Just reliable. And looking back at this offseason, you know, makes me a little bit more appreciative of the fact that the Broncos didn't get rid or didn't let Tim Patrick walk elsewhere. Just because of the fact that we see right now you need depth at wide receiver. You need depth at corner. The skill player positions, there's more of a demand around the NFL right now for it. More so, I think, than there ever has been, as we've seen with several teams that have been snake bitten. But luckily, Tim Patrick's going to get the volume. KJ Hamler, they called up Kendall Hinton. He's going to be on the active roster in the meantime as Jerry goes to IR. So you're going to see a rotation of guys there, but as you mentioned, the tight ends, Noah Fant looked good in action. I was very impressed by Noah Fant in Sunday's win against the Giants. Eric Saubert, also a guy that had 2 targets, 1 catch, but man, as a blocker, he just creates space for the rushers. And then you have Albert Okwuegbunam, who redeemed himself from that fumble on the 4-yard line. I think Denver will be okay, Jim. I do agree with you there.
Now it's Jacksonville on Sunday, and look, Jacksonville, Urban Meyer in his first year there, got off to a rough start. Their defense gave up almost 300 passing yards, 160 rush yards. Their Jacksonville's last, their last touchdown came when the game was already out of reach. It does not look good for this Jacksonville team. Trevor Lawrence did not play particularly well in his debut. It has the makings of what should be, right now the Broncos are a 6-point road favorite in this game on Sunday. It has the makings for it should be a Broncos win on Sunday, but give us your thoughts about Jacksonville and what you saw in week one.
No, man, any given Sunday, Jim. And, Jacksonville, it's just a young team. This is the first time that Trevor Lawrence has ever thrown 3 interceptions in his life. And he talked about that. But, I think that for the Jaguars, I think the benefit that they'll have this week, obviously it's going to be their home opener. So they get a chance to play in front of their hometown crowd. It's going to be rowdy. It's going to be hot. The Broncos planning to travel up there on Friday a little bit earlier than usual. They usually travel on Saturdays to the opposing team. So they're going to get there a little early, relax, and go through some walkthrough stuff. But I think that for Denver, this bodes well for them. I think that this week you can really try to see them establish the run. I mean, Mark Ingram and Phillip Lindsay had a field day. And even Tyrod Taylor had a field day against the Jaguars last week. And the Broncos, I think they need to find a way to capitalize on that. Melvin Gordon looked good. Javonte Williams looked good. But this is a game where I think the Broncos, they got to come out and take care of business, right? Because, Jim, we've talked about us too. They got to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. And I think this is a good test for the Broncos to kind of test that measure there. I don't expect Jacksonville to win. They look like one of the worst teams in the NFL outside of the Atlanta Falcons. So Denver's got to take care of business, and I think that's going to be a really big test for them, is seeing how they respond to, a first victory in a while to open up the season. Do you get too hot-headed? Do you get too big-headed in that sense, or are you calm, cool, and collected? I think that's what's going to be a big test for me.
And they also lost to a team in the Houston Texans that many people think was going to be the worst team in the league. Well, guess what? Jacksonville grabbed that spot, at least after week one, right now, and some of the predictions. Cody Rourke joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So with Ronald Darby out, Patrick Surtain the second will get his first career NFL start. Not probably the greatest debut for PS2 in that game against the Giants, but here's his chance to score off against Trevor Lawrence, a couple guys that have a little bit of history from the college game.
Yeah, and I think that too for the preseason, when you're playing against third string guys, you know, it's a little easier. When you go against guys like Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard, I mean, it's a little bit of a different test there, but Patrick Surtain's fine. He played 16 snaps, and Vic had said that his plan was to get him a lot in the rotation on the outside, but the Broncos, you know, they went to dime a couple of times, so he got a couple of reps as kind of that dime backer against guys like the tight end or even number three receiver when they lined him up in trips. On the player to Sterling Shepard, the Broncos actually did a film breakdown on this on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL if anyone wants to check it out. But the Broncos, they were showing a too high safety look there, and it was a condensed formation because you had the tight end. He was off the ball there, and he was right next to the tackle, kind of as a wing. And then you had a condensed formation with Sterling Shepard condensed down. He just ran a deep over. Patrick Surtain's alignment was on the outside a little bit. If he cheats it in just a tiny bit, Vic had said he just got to play that a little tighter and that they were expecting some help on the inside. So Josie Jewell kind of got lost and picked up the tight end, which was covered by Bryce Callahan. So that inside help was not there by Jewell. But, you know, for Surtain, you bring your arms through, tackle the near hip, and ride him out of bounds rather than trying to arm tackle. So I'm not worried about Surtain. I think he's going to be in a good position to get a lot of reps this week, and especially against an offense that will love to throw the football. So he's going to have a lot of opportunities.
All right, you can check out his podcast where you listen to your favorite podcast, Locked On Broncos Podcast. Cody Rourke is your host. Make sure you check it out. Cody, I enjoyed doing the Fruita Junction game last Friday, and always enjoy our conversations on Wednesday. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, Jim. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Cody Rourke, Locked On Broncos podcast, also a contributor to 9 News over in Denver as well. All right, 8:41, we're going to talk some Colorado Mesa football. Lionel McConnell, one of the grad transfer wide receivers, will join us coming up in just a moment. Talk about the Mavericks' preparations for opening up RMAC play at New Mexico Highlands on Saturday right here on the Team CMU Sports Network. That's coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
This summer is the perfect time to hit the open road in a new Chevy. With its impressive towing capability, Chevy Silverado is open to taking the boat out and making a splash. With its off-road capabilities, Chevy Trailblazer is open to new points of view.
Whoa, look at that. Wow.
And with its many safety features, Chevy Equinox is open to added confidence on your weekend getaways. Unlock a summer of possibilities in a new Chevy. See Ed Bozarth Chevrolet.
I'm Tyler Franson in the News Center. Consumer advocates say there is no way Coloradans should foot the $130 million bill for Xcel Energy's deep freeze costs. Colorado Sun says advocates are urging the Public Utilities Commission to reject $130 million of Xcel's proposed $550 million request for recovering costs from February's deep freeze. Advocates say the company ignored weather warnings and failed to store more gas and switch to cheaper fuel ahead of the freeze. Xcel will have a few days to respond to the PUC staff and consumer advocate testimony. Colorado's Safe to Tell line saw an increase in reports this August compared to last August, likely due to the pandemic and a return to in-person schooling. Safe to Tell received 972 tips, which is 36% more than in 2020. Leading the way were tips about suicide threats, welfare checks, and school complaints. False tips only make up 2.1% of all tips received this school year. I'm Tyler Franson in the News Center.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 8:47. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. It's a Wine About a Wednesday. You can win a bottle of Talon Wine if you got something to complain about. I'm sure we'll get to more of those. Next hour, also the quarterback in the NFL in week one that impressed you the most, the one that maybe impressed you the least. Send that to us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Joining us right now, he is a Maverick wide receiver. He was the Mavericks' second leading receiver in the win over William Jewell. As the Mavericks get ready to head to Las Vegas, New Mexico to open up conference play against New Mexico Highlands this Saturday on the team CMU Sports Network. Wide receiver, redshirt senior Lionel McConnell joins us. Lionel, appreciate the time. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. Just happy to be here. Thank you for having me on here, sir.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the program today. And let's get back to that Thursday night game. You guys have been off for a while with the bye week, but a chance to savor that win against William Jewell. The team got off to a little bit of a slow start on both sides of the ball, Lionel, but a 40-3 victory over the William Jewell Cardinals. And I think for a debut effort as a Colorado Mesa Maverick, the job that you did, the three catches, 63 yards, nice start to your time in a Maverick uniform.
Yes, sir. I feel like we did come out slow for both sides of the ball, but we are here, you know what I'm saying? Like, we are here, and we are here to stay. I feel like we got a really good team. We got some great coaches. We got a great defense. You know, the real reason why I came here, honestly, is because our defense, you know what I'm saying? Like, I knew we had a great defense. We had great players. I knew they could make us better. And just the pieces we added to the offense. I really think we have a really good team this year. And all our coaches preached on this week since we started our practice on Sunday is starting fast, starting fast, starting fast. Because we did kind of start slow against William Jewell. So it's just been big emphasis on starting fast. And I think hopefully we can do that coming out this Saturday against New Mexico Highlands.
Lionel McConnell, Colorado Mesa wide receiver, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. You're a grad transfer, Abilene Christian. Elijah Lilly comes from New Mexico. Dwight Blakey, also a transfer as well. And you guys bring a lot of experience playing at the Division I level. You guys are all seniors, so I mean there's the maturity there as well, Lionel. This is one of the better wide receiver cores we've seen for the Mavericks in quite some time, with yourself, Elijah Lilly, and Dwight Blakey, and along with guys that are already there, and Isaac Salazar and KJ Sapp.
Exactly. So I'm really happy, I guess I can say. Like, the coaches did a fantastic job recruiting, you know, the freshmen and getting transfers here. They did their thing for sure. And Lilly, he's a great receiver. Blakey, I call him Shifty because he's so shifty. He's a great receiver. We got a great quarterback. We got a really good receiver stat. I mean, receiver core. I feel like we all can do many different things. I think we will be a force to reckon with this year for sure. We can all go off. We can all go off any given night. And we all got something different to bring to the table for sure.
What's the thing you think you bring to this football team, Lionel? What do you bring to this receiving core?
I guess what I bring to the receiver core, so I had a receiver coach named Dante Ellington. He was with me at my last school at ACU. He really brought that dog out of me. You know what I'm saying? That dog, that grit, and which Coach Jackson preaches a lot about that grit, having that grit. So I just think about, I bring that hard-nosed grit and just try to get the job done the best way I can, any way I can. I may not be the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, but I will find a way to get the job done. I think that's what I bring to the team a lot, or to the receiver core, and just hopefully my leadership, trying to help bring the younger guys up, like Zayden and Trey and other guys like that, just to help them elevate their game, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, they have the tools and attributes, too, to help get the job done. And plus, we have a good receiver coach, Coach Newcomer. He helps us a lot every day. He helps us every day with different drills, with our hand placement, our feet, getting our feet ready, getting our feet hot, and just catching the ball. And honestly, with the offensive coordinator like we got with Coach Brown, it's beautiful. The way he calls the plays and the way he's trying to get his playmakers the ball is just something I've never had in my life, honestly, as a receiver.
He's part of the Texas connection, if you will, the pipeline from the great state of Texas.
Exactly.
From Dallas, Texas, exactly. Lionel McConnell, Colorado Mesa wide receiver with us, who was at Abilene Christian. You had some really good performances there. You had the 11 catches, 101 yards, 160 all-purpose yards when you played against Army as a member of Abilene Christian. You also played a couple of seasons at Liberty as well. Lionel, take us through the path of leaving Abilene Christian and the state of Texas and coming to Colorado and becoming a Mesa Maverick.
So it was just, I just had my time there. I met a really good friends for life. I feel like I had met some really good friends for life. It was cool playing, you know, Division I opponents like Army, Virginia, They also play at Mississippi State and things like that. But when I just felt like it's my time to go, I guess you can say. And I just couldn't pass up this option of coming here to Colorado. You know, when you first got into the transfer portal, you never know where you're going to go in the way because there's so many people in there. And everybody's doing it now for whatever reason they're doing it. And like I said, I'm previously from Liberty University in Virginia. So when I found out that my running back coach, Todd, who I played with, Todd Macon, he was at Liberty. He came here. And then Remington Green, who's a stud linebacker here, he came here. And I had another DB come here, Hunter Goats. And then just having Coach Jackson, who was previously at ACU, and me and him talked for a little bit while I was there, when he was there. And then with him coming here, I just feel like he's a great leader. And it was just Grand Junction. I love it here. Coming from a big city, like I was talking to my roommate yesterday, coming from a big city to here, a little bit smaller, a little bit slowed down, like I feel like this is a perfect place for me and my time of life. And I'm just happy to be here. And I want to bring this city a championship. I want to get my first ring, bring this city a championship, do whatever I can to get here and help this team win.
Wide receiver Lionel McConnell, the Colorado Mesa Mavericks, with us today on the Team Sports Network. And Carstown, your quarterback, he made his first collegiate start. He played wide receiver, played your position when he was at South Dakota State. They were the FCS National Championship runner-up to Sam Houston State, but he was a really good quarterback at Miller, South Dakota, so he made his first collegiate start. What was that like? How was Carstown in the huddle? Because I thought he got better as the game went along. He got more composed. I thought that he did a fantastic job in his first ever collegiate start at the quarterback position.
As everybody, you know, everybody has their first nerves and things like that when it's the first game somewhere new. But at the end of the day, sir, it's football, you know, and it's something that we've been doing for a lot of years of our life, even though we're still young. I think Carson's poised, and he's just going to get better and better as the season goes on. That's the thing. We're all going to get better and better. That's why I say that we're here to stay. Like, this is a new team. Coach brought us here for a reason, and we're not done yet. We're not going to be finished, and we're going to work our butts off to get to that point that we want to get to, because ultimately winning this conference and making our way to the playoffs and making our way into the championship game in Texas. And I feel like, of course, we have a perfect leader in him. You know, me, I love it because I have a big quarterback with a big arm who's athletic, something I really never had in the way since high school. And I'm happy he's our quarterback. And I feel like he's just going to get better and better, and he's the perfect guy to lead us.
Okay, one final thing, Lionel. The place that, since you say you love Grand Junction, we love having you here, part of the Mavericks, the place, maybe favorite place you like to go, restaurant, kind of hang out when there is a little bit of downtime. Is there a favorite place you've discovered here in Grand Junction?
Honestly, it might sound funny, but I'll totally honest with you. The campus, like, it's beautiful. Like, people probably that live here or that's from here, I'll be like, nah, man. No, they like to go home, relax. Nothing's wrong with that. But I like, in my downtime, I'm reading a couple books right now, and I like to go to campus, walk around when the sun going down after practice, come back, take a shower, eat, go back, just sit down and just chill. The campus is beautiful. I mean, it's probably my favorite campus. Like, it's up there with Liberty campus because, like, it's just beautiful. Whoever, the architects or whatever, they built a fantastic campus. It's like one of the campuses that you would see on TV. So I like to go there, relax, chill. And it's just so active. You know, you got people walking around, riding their bikes, walking their dogs, playing disc golf, playing basketball, playing volleyball. It's just like a safe haven for me. You know what I'm saying?
It's a fantastic campus. I graduated from there in the late 80s, and it's kind of just bigger and bigger and bigger, Lionel. So you're the beneficiary of a really fantastic campus to be on. Hey, Lionel, I appreciate the time this morning. We're up against a break here, but thank you so much for coming on. Of course, we'll have the Mavericks at New Mexico Highlands this Saturday, pregame at 11, kickoff at noon. Mavericks open up conference play, that quest for an RMAC championship and maybe even more. Lionel, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today, man.